Welcome to Sessions by Monster Chats. Sessions is a new kind of show for us where we ditch the script and instead dig into the real stories behind the people in our professional lives. How do we all come together in this world of entrepreneurship, sales, and unified communications? One session at a time. All right, on today's episode, I'm going to be talking with Paige Wilhide of Paige Media. My name is Colin Mitchell. I'm the founder of Monster VoIP and the host of Monster Chats. I'm super excited. Paige and I met on a virtual networking event and connected, and I said, I got to have you on the podcast. So I'm super excited. We have some alignment. She's super passionate about video, and I'm excited for you guys to learn more about her story and some of the cool things that she's working on. Paige, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Colin. It's so good to have me here. I'm happy to be here.
Awesome. Thanks so much for hopping on. We met on a virtual networking event put on by Joe, which pretty much anybody on LinkedIn knows Joe, I think.
Who doesn't know Joe?
I know. Joe's everywhere. So, yeah. And then we connected for a brief conversation, and we're actually neighbors. You're like up the street from me, which is super
cool. We are neighbors. And it's so funny because in a lot of those networking events, I feel like everybody's on the East Coast. So we're the exception here.
Yeah, I think so. So let's dig in. Just tell us a little bit about yourself, like, you know, where did you grow up? What was, you know, all the good stuff. And then like, why the heck did you decide you wanted to become an entrepreneur?
Oh my gosh. Well, I grew up in Baltimore, and I come from a long line of entrepreneurs. So my father, my grandfather on both sides were entrepreneurs. So it just kind of was in my blood. And yeah. I was always, when I was little, I was always like starting new projects and new ventures. Like I started a library in our home and, you know, just like little things. So I was always very entrepreneurial. And when I went to University of Maryland for school, and when I guess this is the story of like how I got into video. Let's talk about that. Because that's what I do now. So I went to University of Maryland, and I was really like antsy there. I really wanted to like travel and see the world. I felt like in this Maryland bubble my whole life, and there's just like this free spirit part of me that really wanted to spread my wings. So after I graduated, I moved to Japan, and I lived in Japan as an English teacher for a year. I got into this program, and next thing I know, I'm just like on a plane to Japan, and I don't know Japanese. I've been to Japan. I had been to Japan once before, but like briefly. It wasn't.
Okay, wait. So did you know anybody there? Like, was this just like kind of planned, or you're just like, I'm going to move to Japan?
I had applied kind of on a whim. I had applied to this program called the JET program. I don't know if you're familiar, but it's like anybody who knows teaching English in Japan knows the JET program. Okay. And I applied to this program, and I was like, you know, it's not a very high chance I'll get in, and we'll see what plan B is when that comes up. But I got in.
Did you just like kill it on a video interview or what?
It was an in-person interview.
Okay.
And you know what? I cried in the interview. I remember like at the end being like, I just want to travel the world, and I just feel this call to be in Japan, and I don't know what it is. And I like teared up in front of these very professional, you know, suited Japanese people. And I guess like, you know, that was the beginning of my storytelling and tapping into emotions, you know, through my storytelling.
They're so, like, we gotta let this girl in.
Exactly. Yeah. They're like, she's got something different. So, yeah, if you guys ever want to go to Japan, cry in the interview. There you go. There's your tip.
Yeah.
So, yeah, next thing I know, I was like on a plane to Japan, and it was, quite a culture shock experience for me. I couldn't communicate when I was there. I had a really hard time at the beginning. I went through like this kind of bout of depression, and I didn't want to go outside. Like it was tough at first. I would just go to my school and teach and then come home. And I started making some really good friends, and I, with them, I started like going to exploring different parts of Japan and these like iconic things that make Japan such a culture, like the photo booths and the little corner ramen shops and things like that. And I took my camera with me. And with my camera, I just started kind of shooting some video footage, putting it together, like using iMovie. I didn't know what I was doing. And I put it on YouTube. And I would send the link to like, you know, on in my emails to my friends and family. And then these videos started getting like 10,000, 20,000, up to like 50,000 views.
What was your secret? Were you crying in the videos?
No. I was not crying in the videos, but you know, that's
not a bad idea. Not a bad idea.
Not a bad idea, Colin. Now my wheels are turning. we could give it a shot. I'm sure there have been videos that I've cried in since then, but that wasn't what like made them popular, you know? I don't really know what it was. I think it was a lot of people who had this like interest in Japan and wanted to know.
I really love that because I feel like, you know, there's people that like they start putting videos out there or they start creating content. It's like they have this goal. I need to get all these views. Sometimes those are the people that are just like pounding their head against the wall because they don't understand why can't I get more engagement? Why can't I get more views? Why is nobody watching my videos? And when it's just like organically, like authentic, like just doing videos, those are the type of videos that like really take off.
I totally agree. I work with people who want to start YouTube channels or people who have successful YouTube channels and want to grow them. And it's really about starting with passion. You know, like you can learn the algorithm and play the algorithm and like look at the data and make adjustments and blah, 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 blah. But if you don't have passion, it's not going to come through, you know? And so some of the most successful YouTubers to this day started because they were excited about making videos about whatever they were talking about.
And do you think it's easy to lose that once they start to see some success?
Yes. People tend to lose that as you see success. There's a lot that can happen, you know, as you become more successful and you stay the same, but you feel like you have to step into this image of what everybody thinks that you should be or what, you know, this like kind of alter ego that you've created for yourself.
So,
right.
So like you said, you mentioned you work with people who already have successful YouTube channels and they're really looking to grow them or do more. Like what are the challenges that those people have versus people that are just getting started?
So the challenges that those people have tend to be like, I'm doing everything I've been doing. I am posting the same amount of videos I've been posting and I'm plateauing. Like there's no more growth. Yeah. And they've kind of saturated their own market, their audience, right? With like the same content. And for those people, it's really about like, let's get creative. Mm-hmm. Let's see what other kind of content can you put out there to target some other audiences, or what kind of partnerships can we create? How can you collaborate with somebody else who has an audience that doesn't know you yet and might benefit from what you have to say?
It's like, it's the same with like your business, your typical business owner that's maybe had a business for many years, has hit a certain revenue. And it's like, I don't understand. We're still doing the same old stuff. And it's like, they're not innovating.
Exactly. It's about like always looking forward, you know, and some people just think like, what is that? The definition of insanity, right? It's like you're doing the same things over and over and you're getting the same exact results. So let's innovate a little bit and get creative. And that's what I really push those clients to do.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And then, so, all right, let's go back. So you were super depressed in Japan. You met some friends, you started exploring, you started doing videos and all of a sudden these videos started getting tons of views. I mean, they almost like, putting the dots together here, but it kind of like pulled you out of that depression a little bit and kind of changed for you.
Totally.
So tell me about that.
Yeah. I mean, it gave me something that I felt like excited about, you know, it gave me something to look forward to. to work on. I always, you know, during this COVID time, I actually put out a video about like staying creative in quarantine, because we can tend to like, you know, get into this low point. And it's about mixing it up, like try something new, take a course, like go to a different kind of supermarket, like anything that will get your synapses in your brain connecting differently. Right. Mm-hmm. So, that's really what this YouTube channel provided for me, was a chance to be more creative and to tap into something that I didn't really know was inside of me. So it definitely pulled me out of that depression. It also encouraged me. It also like pushed me to go to new places, right? Because I was like, I'm going to make a video about this. So I want to go explore it and experience it. So it just added to my whole experience of living there.
When did you make your first video? And what was your first video about?
It was, I mean, my first video, the one that like really, where I really saw like the trends, the upward trends starting, was this video called, I forget what it was titled, but it was about purikura, which are these Japanese photo booths, where you take the photos, like a classic photo booth, but then there's these computers with, I don't think it was touchscreen, but it was like those stylus pens, mm-hmm. and you can decorate them. You can put emojis on them. This was also, I just want you guys to know, this was in 2009. So it wasn't like last year when YouTube's like really hot and everybody wants to do it, or even like 5 years ago. Like this was YouTube didn't even know what it was going to become at this time. So it was just like really fun. It was really fun to like play around with what kinds of videos would people want to see. And that was a really popular one, was this called Purikura, the Japanese photo booth video. Yeah,
very cool. Okay. All right. So now talk to me about, so you start to, you know, have a little bit of purpose with doing these videos, and then what was next for you from there?
Well, I came home and I knew that I wanted to learn more about video and YouTube. And like, I just didn't really know where to start. And my dad had actually seen a commercial on the Travel Channel for a course of a short form travel video course at the Travel Channel headquarters in DC. And I lived in Baltimore. So I was like, perfect. I took this course and just like fell in love. I made some real fun, weird videos, and put them just like, yeah, just started kind of sharing them. I found internships wherever I could. I like reached out to some guy who was a videographer and I was like, hey, can I help you in any way? And I interned at a production company in Baltimore. And while I was there, there was like one day we were doing a shoot with like Comcast and Cal Ripken was there. It was like a huge deal. And so I'm sitting with the talent at lunch, not Cal Ripken, but like some other people, mm-hmm. and talking to them. And one of the women was telling me her journey about becoming an actress. And I was like, oh, that sounds awesome. I want to do that. So I moved to New York a couple months later and started pursuing an acting career. And on the side, I was producing videos for people, for like small businesses and entrepreneurs, just to, as a side hustle, to make money.
Sure.
It wasn't a career. And then of course, you know, like the acting thing started not working anymore and the video thing was just taking off. And I was like, this is it. This is what I'm going to do.
It was no longer a side hustle, became a real business.
Yep. Became full time. I started hiring an editor in 2014 or 15. And then, she was just like freelance working in my home, like coming in and editing in my home and my home office. Then I had hired her full time, had an office, had a project manager. Like I started growing an agency model, for my production company, and it was doing really well. It was really successful in New York City of all places. Like, if you can make it here, you know?
Yeah. And so you obviously have no problem just picking up and going wherever the next place is for you. So how did you end up from New York to LA?
Well, a relationship brought me to LA that is no longer present anymore in my life. And I guess that's the best way to say that. We broke up, but it was actually perfect. Like, it was exactly what I needed. He needed to move his company to LA. And at the time, I was like, I was seeing this trend with my clients. And what was happening was they no longer wanted like these high-end, high-quality video shoots, mm-hmm. because we were working with small and medium-sized businesses, right? They wanted more quantity. They wanted mm-hmm. to put out more videos consistently and kind of learn how to do them in-house, like with the resources they had, learn how to produce their own videos. So it came at a really perfect time because I was like, I just felt that the agency model, the time had come with it. Like, it was kind of like it had naturally just evolved. Like, it had just naturally evolved to
well, I think the transition is like a lot of people like the more real authentic stuff, right? Where it's like you and a camera and that's it. Nothing fancy, not a lot of too much editing, and more consistency and shorter, right? Where it's not less like the stuff you'd see on TV type commercial, you know, type of videos, right? So that's kind of the transition that you're talking about. And
totally.
Yeah. And it became like there was more tools and software and things that made it easier for you to do videos yourself. But there's still a lot of questions that people have about, well, what do I do about my videos, or how, where do mm-hmm. I post my videos, or what's proper video etiquette and things like that, which is kind of your focus now, right?
Totally. Totally. It's a lot of that. And it's a lot of, fear of showing up. I find that a lot of people get stopped when it comes to, you know, now that it's their responsibility to record their own videos, they don't have to show up at a video shoot. They put it off and procrastinate. Mm. And it's like, okay, well, what's the deeper thing behind that, right? Like, what is the story that you've been telling yourself that maybe you don't deserve to show up, or you don't think you know enough, or you don't think you're the expert, or you feel like people will judge you, right? So there's a lot of coaching that comes along with the work that I do as well.
Mm, okay. And something I struggle with video is like, I like to do like the spur of the moment where I feel inspired to talk about something and then do a video. But sometimes when you leave it to that, then it doesn't get done as consistently as I know it should. Right. Yes. So it's like kind of finding a balance between doing that and then also doing like batches of content where like maybe on a Monday you do 4 videos and you have 4 out of your 5 videos for the week or something like that. What sort of feedback do you have on that?
Well, I'm all about having a hybrid strategy of the pre-planned, pre-produced, batched content versus the spur of the moment, probably more like, I would say more live content, right? Where you can just kind of hop on a live and go. And there is room for both of those inside of a video strategy. It really just depends on what works for you, you know? And I help a lot of my clients sort of figure out what's the cadence? Like, what is it that we're going to be putting out? How often? And which ones are going to be live and spur of the moment and support the batched content, right? It's got to all kind of tie together. But that's a lot of like the strategizing that I help people with.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And what would you tell people that are like knowing they should be doing video and they're not, and are just trying to get started?
I think the thing that I find with a lot of people when they know that they're supposed to do video and they don't, it's this feeling of overwhelm because there's all of that whole list of gear that you can get and all the things that we see other people doing, right? We're like, we're comparing our first draft to someone else's 300th draft. Mm-hmm. And that keeps us from not doing the video.
See, I like to see what people are doing because I want to know how, like, can I do something different? Like, I don't want to do what everybody else is doing.
Yes. You and I are the same with that too. Like I love innovating and trying new things. And like, if I see that somebody else did the same thing that I wanted to do, I won't do it. It'll like turn me off from doing it.
Yeah, exactly. And my business partner, Chris, he's the same way, right? So like, for example, like we manage podcasts for people and we're putting out tons of content around podcasts and for our own podcasts, and which we're doing right now. And, everybody sees the same stuff where it's a static image and it's got the audio wave and that's what everybody's doing, or everybody's doing a short clip. It's me next to you with a headline. And so like, we don't like to do that. So a lot of our short clips are like more movie trailer style where it's like music, you know, who the person is and their best two or three moments. And it's like a promotion for the full episode, you know, until everybody starts doing that, we'll run that, you run that course, and then people start doing it, we'll have to figure something else out.
Think of something else. Then there will always be something else, right? And I love that you guys are doing it in that format. It's more watchable. You know, people are going to be more excited to watch something like that.
Yeah, yeah. So, all right. So the person they're getting started, they're typically overwhelmed. They don't know what equipment to use. Yes. Should I use my phone? Do I need a professional camera, mic? Like, and then they just kind of are overwhelmed and do nothing.
So the tips that I have for that person are, number one, use sunlight and your cell phone. That's all you need. Mm. Just find your best light. Like, I don't know if this is going to be a video, but I always use natural light.
Definitely going to be a video.
Oh, great. Okay, good. Well then, hi everybody. This is natural light coming in. I don't know. I'm winging it. I always use natural light as much as I can. And it's the best gift to use for video. And then use your phone. Our phones are such powerful devices for shooting video. Every new version that comes out is just a better and better camera.
Yeah.
So if you really don't know where to start, you already have everything you need right there. And then the other thing that I say is, pick one platform to be on. Don't feel like you have to be everywhere at once, because different platforms use video differently. Like the container for video is different on Instagram than it is on YouTube. Right. So pick one place where you feel like you're going to have the most fun.
Where's your primary effort? What platform?
I love YouTube. I still, like, to this day, even though it's become, you know, it's changed so much over the years. Yeah. But in terms of using, creating evergreen content, YouTube is the place to be. Like, Instagram's fun for short, quippy stories, whatever stuff. And it's really playful and visual, but YouTube is really where it's at if you want to be found. And if you want to build up your influence and a library of content that puts you front and center and establishes you as a thought leader.
Okay. Good to know. All right. So now what about the more experienced content creator, somebody who's putting content out, struggling, hitting that plateau? Like, what do you tell those folks?
I mean, for those people, it's like we talked about before, is how can we get a little bit creative? How can you change up what you've been doing to surprise your audience? Or, right, like you, there's this, yeah, go ahead.
The one thing I think you said earlier, which I totally agree with, and because I apply this in a different way, not necessarily on content, but collaborating. So tapping into other people's lists, other people's followers that have a similar, you know, audience or demographic as you, I think that's definitely the way to go. It's a win-win for both parties, right?
100%. Collaboration is huge. And that's been really huge for me in growing my audience too. It's like, every conversation that I have, I always approach with a, how can we help each other?
Right.
You know, how can I help you? And in turn, you'll help me.
And you see so much more of that right now because of the current situation. Like, everybody's just trying to do their best to survive through really tough times right now for a lot of businesses, a lot of individuals. And you see a lot of people stepping up and just doing things for nothing, you know, helping each other with, you know, not expecting anything in return. It's really nice to see more of that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's wonderful. That's the way I've always run my business. Like my dad taught me, you know, a business is about your relationships. That's how you grow a business, with good relationships. And that's how I've always done it. And it's just great to see now that it's even more important than it's been before.
100%. All right. So mm-hmm. before I let you go.
No, I don't want to leave. Let's hang out all day.
Unfortunately, if we go too long, which we totally could, people won't listen to it. So people have short attention spans. We got to keep it under 30 minutes or so, unfortunately. But you know what?
Man, anyway. You guys, I blame the audience.
So before I let you go, tell people about some of the cool things you're working on. I know you have a course. I know that you have something else that's non-business related that you have going on that you may want to talk about.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of business related, but like, yeah. So my course, Lights, Camera, Crush It, is the ultimate course to becoming a video superstar. And I walk my students through every single step of the video creation process for your business. So from visioning to planning out your content to learning to research titles to shooting, editing, sharing, uploading, collaborating, literally everything that we talked about today. So that is my course. And if you want to learn more about that, on my website, I have a free workshop that you can check out, the 5-step formula for creating videos that convert to sales. So we can link that somewhere. Usually I say yes. In my YouTube videos, I'm like, the link's below, but wherever this is, I don't know.
The link will be in below in the show notes.
In the show notes, guys. Yeah. Check out the show notes.
Yeah.
And so that's, yeah, if you want to check out that, it's an on-demand workshop, so you can sign up and watch it right away. And then something that I'm so excited about is that I'm starting to host murder mystery networking parties virtually over Zoom. So at the beginning of COVID, I hosted a murder mystery party for my friends. It was so much fun. And now since I've been like connecting with so many cool people, I just want to like bring everybody together in a really fun environment. So they're all like, anybody who signs up, I think it's like I'm going to limit to 15 people for the first one. And then you sign up, you're going to get a character, what costume to wear, like who you are, and then everyone's going to show up and it'll be super fun.
Spoiler alert, it was Paige with the video camera.
Shh, don't tell everybody. That's the secret. We have to cut that part out, you guys.
Oh no. They stopped listening.
It's past
30
it's
minutes.
It's too long.
Yeah. All right. Well, Paige, it was such a pleasure having you on the show today. Welcome to the Monster Chats community. Appreciate you taking the time. If you're listening to the podcast, please subscribe, share with your friends, and we're listening for your feedback. The show is all about you. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Sessions by Monster Chats, presented to you by Monster VoIP. Monster VoIP started, frankly, because we were sick and tired of getting gouged on our business phone bill and getting dropped calls all of the time. Today, Monster VoIP serves over 6,000 customers and is passionate about saving businesses money and giving them the features that they need in a modern tech stack for today's companies. Text TRIAL to 424-378-6966 to get your free trial of Monster VoIP.